And, you know, I think we start with that and then see how that goes, and then we can always come back to the discussion of hiring the in-house IT person at a later date if we feel that's necessary. It's getting pretty late. Do we have any, how much more do we have to do?
I can try to whip through this stuff as quickly as possible. Here's what I need to ask of you guys just briefly before I lose everybody's attention span, and that is, if you have the changes that have been outlined here that we've discussed tonight will be incorporated in the budget, absent another opportunity, I don't want to have another meeting just to have another meeting, but absent another opportunity to get clear direction from you guys on some things, you will then, when we get to the final budget, need to make amendments if you want to see a change with regard to specific things. So if it's not discussed tonight, we will present a budget that includes what has been presented and what we have discussed and changed all along to date. And then if there are any further changes you want, you will need to amend that on June 12th, unless you want to meet again for another work session to provide any further direction.
I'm a little bit unclear where we wound up with the combination of the two positions between the library and the Nolan Center.
I don't know that we've come to a decision on that.
I was not clear. I wasn't sure if we were circling back to that. I know Assembly Member Powell said something, but I just didn't know where we were at with that.
We haven't.
Well, Mr. Mayor?
Go ahead.
I just thought that she was going to talk to, or Lisa was going to check that out and see if there was anything that could be done. Get done with that.
I mean, the only thing would be to do, really, that we would need to do is add the money for the additional time.
Well, okay, then I think I'm a little off.
There isn't a net savings there. What we would do is we would be maximizing that position instead of considering eliminating it.
But we wouldn't be adding any time because you're looking at part-time for the Nolan Center.
That's correct. I mean, there will have to be part-time staff hired to handle all those duties. So we would be offsetting part-time staff assistance. That's correct.
So my question is then, to clarify them, is if we made a person that is at the library a full-time employee of the city, mm-hmm. and split their time, is there a cost savings in doing that rather than having two part-time people?
Oh, yeah. Because then we would only have one person with benefits rather than two.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get at when I said, you know, why do we have all these part-time people running around with benefits when we can get one person, split 20 hours there, 20 hours here?
So let me be clear. There's a difference between a part-time permanent and then I guess what is actually, I probably have been misspeaking, what have been called here temps. So the Nolan Center attendants that would be hired would be considered temp employees, not part-time employees. But we would be offsetting the cost of having to hire as many temp employees as we would by having a part-time permanent position. And we would be maximizing a position that we already have. And those would be guaranteed hours that somebody would be working available for stuff that then the director or the facility manager is not at the Nolan Center, isn't having to go, oh my gosh, I don't have any temp people that want to work right
could
now.
Depend and, on them.
Yeah, exactly.
It's also a benefited position, so that also is an incentive for somebody to come on, and that's always a good thing. I mean,
now I would say that I'm sure you're knowing this, but I would like to duties. I don't want someone to come back and say, well, that's not my job description.
If a position is changed, then that's what we do. I mean that the assembly has the ability to change job descriptions and to change positions. So obviously, even though we are talking about positions, at some point we have to have a discussion with the person that is currently filling that position and find out what they're interested in. Obviously, the change in position would be offered to that person first, who is currently filling that position. and hopefully that person is interested in taking the job.
Okay. Well, that's where I was at with moving forward with that.
Okay. So we will.
If it's going to save us money to do that, then that's where I was trying to save some money without getting rid of positions.
I'm not sure that you will see a savings. You will be offsetting temp wages with permanent wages, and because we're already paying for the benefits of that position currently for that person, and you will be getting better efficiency at that location because you will have guaranteed hours from a person to do work.
Giving
more
hour,
bang for your buck.
Yes.
Hours to a permanent position that has benefits is always going to cost more than a temp position because of PERS and SBS. So there's about a 30% markup on wages that you pay to a permanent position versus an 11% markup on wages that you pay to a temp position, assuming the same hourly wage.
We're already currently paying the PERS wage benefits for the library position.
It's a percentage. That's true, but it's a percentage of all wages. Yes.
As that library person, if they go full-time, then the PERS go up too, right, with the hours?
Yes, 30% of all wages, basically, is going to PERS and other retirement.
So are you going to, so you're telling me then, with a temp position, we pay nothing?
That's correct.
For PERS.
So maybe this isn't a viable thing to even look at, then. If we're going to have temps costing us less money, if we put a full-time on, you're just telling me that the percentage of that's going to all go up, everything's going to go up.
Didn't your plan for the Nolan Center include a half-time person?
No, it didn't. My plan for the Nolan Center was to get rid of the half-time custodian position there.
And they would do it in-house, correct?
That's correct.
With temps.
The benefit of, I think, doing, although there would be an offset of temp wages, you're paying one person instead of another person, so you're not just taking all of the additional cost, but I think you're adding, like we've talked about, reliability and predictability in terms of being able to fill the schedule.
Yeah,
that is my fear, is that we will, these temps will be a nightmare to keep the people engaged. I mean, we will be cycling through and trying to retrain, and you will be back here saying that this isn't working as well as we thought, and we'd like to do something more permanent to attract the right person.
The other thing that I will say is the person who vacated the custodian position that we had over there was not taking benefits. They were making PERS wages, and they were getting PERS benefits along with their salary, but they were not using the city's health insurance, so that was a savings. If we were to keep that position, whoever would be hired has the potential to put full family benefits onto that and significantly increase the cost.
So I kind of like what Senator Pruszynka said. I almost want to leave this all alone, where it's at, and then, I mean, say it doesn't work. Say what Steve said is right, that we're sitting here, you're going to come back to us 6 months from now, 8 months from now, and say, this temp thing ain't working out, okay? Then you're going to come back and say, well, we need at least a half-time or a full-time here. I would like to see maybe just back up this punt here, and just leave it like it is and let you go with your temps and see how this works out.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you're saying we have a full-time position that we're...
We don't even know if we
need
it.
We'll have, yeah.
So I'm good with that because we are bringing a facility manager on, which is different than what we've done previously, so we don't know how that's all going to work out.
Exactly. Right?
And once we get a new director in who starts working through stuff, it would be them working with me to come to you for a recommendation if staffing issues aren't.
I would feel more comfortable with that after they get their feet on the ground and see what's happening there.
So
like
we're going
Drew
to
just said, this not we're trying to change too many variables at one time. So I kind of like to pull back what I said and just leave it alone and see what happens.
So we'll leave the library position as it is. And if we need a half-time position in the future, then we can look
at it. If everybody else agrees to that, I would say that.
Okay. There we are. Okay, I'm going to zip through this stuff. The question stands still. Let's just zip through. So this is the only other big thing I think we have on the list here. I'm gonna punt to Lee here. He was the one that recommended this. We talked about financing a fire truck, and this is Lee's recommendation.
Buy one. I'll elaborate on that. So,
we just saved $245,000. We get most of the damn way over.
The discussion to consider financing a new fire truck, although it would allow us to pay it off over time, involves probably taking on a rate of interest that is substantially higher than the amount of interest that we earn on the city's own investments in CDs. We take our general treasury, of which every fund has its own share of that cash, which are the reserves that you see basically in the budget, and those are invested in CDs. And although interest rates have been rising lately, and we're earning more interest on those, maybe between 1% and 2%, chances are to finance a fire truck, I'm not sure what the interest rate would be. It would depend on who we went with. We could talk to Wells Fargo and Morgan Stanley, both of whom have a substantial amount of the borough's money, and so they're usually able to provide fairly favorable interest rates, relatively speaking, but it's still going to be an additional interest cost to the than the amount of the, I'm not sure how much we would pay in interest. Yeah, it could be between 4 and 5% versus, let's say, 1.5% that we earn on our own CD investments. So the question is worth asking, should you just bite the bullet and spend the borough's reserves, because the money that it's earning in interest in the general treasury could be significantly less than the interest cost of financing it. It would involve digging deeper into the borough's reserves. However, and I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but I did print out a slide that shows the trajectory of the general fund's unrestricted reserve over a period of time going back to 1995. And so I can just pass that out, and I'll explain a little bit more.
What was the cost again, Mr. Mayor?
$300,000.
Yeah,
roughly in that neighborhood. So if you take the $245 we just saved from the public safety building, plus the $25 from last year and the $25 we're putting in this year, bazinga, we got a fire truck.
Can I ask you?
Can I have one for Julie? Julie, I'm saving these handouts for you.
Julie got everything else by email, with the exception of this one.
Oh, okay.
So wow. if I can explain a little bit what's been going on with the general fund balance. So between 1995 and 2005, the general fund unrestricted reserve balance was hovering right around $2 million. And since 2006, 2007, we have added, on average, close to $500,000 to the general fund every year. And so how has this happened? The borough budgeted conservatively. It estimated high on what things would cost, and then it would look at the operations cost typically, see where that ended up, and then whatever room seemed to be remaining would usually be dedicated to capital. That involved deferring quite a bit of capital probably, but and then what would happen is the amount of capital that was scheduled might not always happen in any given year, and so you would end up with a general fund surplus because you only plan to spend as much as you thought you were going to bring in revenue. And then if certain capital didn't happen and your budget estimates were high, you've got a surplus. And so that's what happened over the course of the last 10 years. And so, at the risk of giving too much courage to spend liberally, I think the needs that have been expressed for a fire truck and the age of that vehicle is such that you should consider, I would encourage thinking about whether it makes more sense to spend money that's earning less in interest by just purchasing the first and most needed one, as opposed to going down the road of trying to finance one with the expectation that you're going to pay considerably more in the interest cost. So,
why can't we lend ourselves money?
That's also something that could be explored, and it would just be a function of the fire truck would be a general fund expenditure, mm-hmm. And so usually with the amount of reserves that we have, the general fund is the lender. So you're not going to lend the general fund money to the general fund.
Right.
So the alternative would be to request a loan from the permanent fund. In other words, to liquidate some of the permanent fund investments and to pay the permanent fund back over a period of time with a rate of interest that would replace what you think you would have made had you left that money there.
So what is there? You have an idea of what the rate of interest is for that?
For a loan from the permanent fund?
No, yeah, what do we get from permanent fund? What rate would we have to give them the permanent fund to loan from it?
That's something I would feel more comfortable reviewing with our advisor at Morgan Stanley. I spoke with him actually just today and mentioned that we'd like to have him down here again so that we can discuss some of these things that have come up. So that's a sidebar issue, but I'd have to review that with him. I think that it would need to be probably in the range of interest rates that we would pay to a bank, except that we'd be paying it back to ourselves. And alternatively, he would try hard to sell us on a loan directly from Morgan Stanley that would basically just have our permanent fund as sort of a collateral, if you will.
Because because we've talked about getting a loan from our permanent fund before on other issues. That's the one I thought, you know, not the general fund, but the permanent fund.
I don't think that it does.
And pay it back through a few years or whatever it takes to do. I don't know if that's feasible or not.
I think the difference is that you're taking money from the general fund to pay it back. Correct. So if you had like, let's say the power plant wanted X amount of dollars to do something, they generate money. They actually make money. So if you're paying it back to you're just taking money out of the fund and shuffling it around and putting it back in the fund.
Because we don't earn enough money in the general fund.
Right. It's not like, see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We can't take any action on that tonight, but.
But it is something to think
about.
So, why don't you come up with the options, various options for us, so we can, in the near future, we can look that all over?
And yes, and obviously, if we wanted to have a more wide array of specifics laid out, then whatever the ultimate decision would be would just be accompanied by a budget amendment that would carry out whatever that plan was. So, it may not be in time for the final budget, but.
I should address that to Lisa to ask if you.
That's okay. No, he is not. He is not available to do that work.
My other question is: what is this? Is this purchase of this truck? This is necessary right now. We're in dire straits right now. We got to do it this year.
No.
So, how many years do we have before we got to purchase this truck?
Every year we come up with this, and every year we say, "Well, put her off."
I understand that.
I mean, that's just what we say. So can you put it off? Sure you can. You can always put it off.
And the question I would ask is, if you put it off one or two more years and end up spending the same amount of money anyway, for what benefit?
Or more.
Yeah.
Or more, yeah.
And I don't have an answer to that. It's a rhetorical question.
You're down to the wire because you need X amount.
Yeah, then we're really in.
That was my question, Mr. Mayor. Is this going to be a necessity? How bad is this? You know what I mean? It seems like we said it keeps coming up. It's like it's something we need.
Mr. Mayor, Julie said something there.
Yes, go ahead, Julie.
I just had a quick question. It would be interesting to know what the interest rate would be on the fire truck loan potentially. Because we got a used truck loan recently. I think it was going 2.5%. So I don't know if it would be comparable because it's a vehicle.
It may be comparable, and I'm waiting on word back from our advisor at Morgan Stanley, because he mentioned that given the amount of money we have invested with them, let's just put it this way, Morgan Stanley would not be very worried about our ability to pay that loan back, and as a result, we could expect a fairly competitive rate of interest. But I don't know what that means until I actually see the numbers. So he will be getting back to me with that, and I will obviously forward the information along. And if it is very low or just doesn't make that much of a difference between what we earn and what we would pay, then I would think that it would be worth, yeah, considering financing it. It just depends on how close those interest rates are together.
One of the things I think your financial people are going to look at is that they're generating funds for themselves as well. So in essence, if they lend money, they're going to make an interest rate and hold your money, still generating funds plus the money that they're making.
Exactly.
So it's very much to their advantage to keep your money with them working so that they can pull their 3% off of your money and charge it to you and then they can buy it. So
this seems like something that would be amendment worthy if we get,
get additional information.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to zip through this just quickly. So the question of us needing level one generator training for our level one generators came up, and I asked Amber if we could check into bringing somebody in locally rather than having to send folks out. The question came up, have we planned for utilities expansion related to the new hospital? Amber provided me with all of the utilities information that was put in place when the clinic went in. Our belief is that the utilities that are there are sufficient to service the new hospital. That information has been provided to the architects so that they can look at it and figure out whether or not anything is necessary in that regard. So we're looking at that. Despite the reduction from the budget of the columbarium, the assembly asked that we make sure that we don't forget about the cemetery expansion plan. So that'll be something that we continue to look at in the future. The major equipment vehicle list for next year, the assembly asked for us to include a number of new things: lost days due to maintenance work, annual maintenance cost, and mileage and hours per year for those. So those will be added to that spreadsheet. Add the police jet boat to the equipment list. That'll be done. Add equipment replacement to the full budget. Those items that we went over with you for the major equipment have been added to the budget. With regard to the equipment, amortize the cost of retro versus replacement to make sure we're getting the most value. That'll be done as well. Request was made if we could please break out heating fuel from other utility expenses in the budget. Now in the finance software, we are able to pull reports on the payments to the different utility, to Petro versus our own utility here, and so we can pull those reports as often as the assembly would like to track those. Question was also asked about tracking the utility costs at the fire substation because that seemed unusually high. We will track that this year. The other thing that Lee mentioned is that he wants to combine insurance expenses for all general fund departments under finance rather than having them spread out for consolidation. That's been done.
Actually, I believe it was administration. But I'll do whatever you would like regarding that.
That's what I thought you said.
I got one question.
No, I'm sorry, no.
No questions, that's it. Okay.
We're done with questions.
On our generator
training.
Didn't we discuss sending Royce out and having him trained on inspecting them? And it was only a two-day thing? Or?
That's different training.
Oh, that was okay.
No, you're right.
Oh, yeah.
He did say that he thought it was just several days training.
We'll do whatever
it is.
If I can mention one thing, we just heard today from our insurance broker that general liability is primarily what we can expect to be an 8% increase to our overall insurance bill, not health insurance, but everything else. General liability is going up significantly, so that's going to be probably an additional $17,000, I want to say it is.
Thanks for that news.
So that will have to be reflected in the new budget. Further, I did not re-aggregate those insurance expenses yet because a detailed premium breakdown is forthcoming from the insurance company, and I want to wait until I get that so that I can actually use the literal numbers
will
with the new premiums.
Will it be June 12th?
Yes, I think it will.
Tell her it has to be.
Yeah.
Oh, Lee, I added up all the insurance that I could find in the budget. It's about $126,000. Does that sound right?
No.
That sounds pretty low, doesn't it?
Yes. The total insurance cost will be about $220,000 this year.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't find out where.
Yes.
$220,000.
Two questions. Is our general liability going up due to claims?
Yes. Not our claims per se, but claims in the pool.
Okay. Number two, self-insurance.
For health insurance?
Self-insurance. Can we self-insure
the
borough?
For liability and things like that? I have not asked that question.
You can. The answer to that is yes.
I haven't asked it.
Have we done an assessment on that? Have we? Because I know that we've looked at this in other places that I've worked where we look at doing a self-insurance program where you buy a bond, basically, and you purchase, and it will actually work. Can work out well if you have the capital put aside.
Okay.
If you have the capital to decide, and if you buy a stop loss coverage.
Stop loss coverage is all you have.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Interesting question. To my knowledge, it hasn't been discussed since I've been here.
There are people that do that. We'll do that. You hire them, and they figure out self insurance.
State coverage. Can we pursue that at another time?
Yep. Well, and, I'm just making notes here. Okay, so the request was made to remove the hydrant charge from the fire department as an expense and the revenue from the water department. That's been done. We're going to be reviewing one of the questions that came up from the assembly was the maintenance allocations across all departments. Just a reminder that those will be actual tracked costs. Look at the Walker Foundation grant options for fire department equipment. That is noted. The seventh police officer that was requested, Lee is estimating that will add an additional $50,000 cost beyond the OT savings. So the question is, do you want... Okay.
Well, hold on a second. There's another... I will just represent. I had a talk with Doug McCloskey about that. There is a couple of other factors that should be considered. One of them is officer retention and burnout. In terms of by the time they rotate out on their shifts and they do everything, the rotation and the quality of life, you wind up having guys work with Jim Nelson who worked nights for 4 years straight or something. It was ridiculous. He never saw daylight. And so Doug's point was is that there is some advantages to having that seventh position for officer morale and officer retention.
And the only other thing I would add to that is that if there's any anticipation of near-term turnover, it can provide a, right, which there is, that could provide a buffer for that, given what we saw over the last couple of years, which at one point we were down to, I think, three officers when one had to leave town. That's the other factor. If you've got an end in sight in terms of one or two positions turning over, retiring, things like that, it can be in preparation for that. So, but it wouldn't yield a dollar savings in the current year based on overtime or anything like that. That was the point.
So seventh officer, a yes or no?
Well, it also depends on if that officer needs additional training, like we've had.
That's in terms of the current year cost. That's true.
Yeah.
But that doesn't factor in the cost of the academy, when they made that ballpark estimate.
Isn't that about $30,000?
It can
academy?
Be. It can be. Yes.
Yeah.
Don't we have a couple officers coming up for retirement? Not right away. But
we have one that just retired, and we have another one that is planning to retire in a year. Yeah.
That's just maintaining the seven.
No, we are at six with the one that just retired.
Oh, yeah.
And our plan is
to bring it back to seven.
If you give us direction to do that in this budget, that's what we'll do.
But we will be down to five, but we will be replacing that person as soon as possible, though, right? To keep it at six. We were trying to make our current plan was to maintain at six.
We are at six right now.
When I talked to Doug, he said that it takes almost up to 2 years to get somebody up to par.
Yeah.
2 years. So if you go down to, you're six and you lose one, you're going to be at five for almost 2 years. And then if you lose another, you're going to be at four. That's why I ask about the seventh officer, because I'd already talked to Doug about it.
I'm not
want to spend $50,000, but I just don't see it.
I'm nodding my head.
yes.
Seventh officer.
You have a yes from me.
You're saying no. Are you? So that's only.
We got it.
Three.
We got
three. You got four.
Yeah, we got.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you're nodding.
Done.
Good. You're nodding off.
We're done.
Come on, there's one more thing in there.
No, we're good. I'm finished. All the rest of them on the list were library things we dealt with earlier.
Yep, we did. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, we got.
What are we done here?
I don't know. Well, we've got to finish our agenda, right?
And we're done with this item.
We're done with this item.
That's
next item is attorney's file, which is available in the borough clerk's office. The executive session we have none. We're adjourned when it's 10:32.
I told you.
Well, if you catch your mouse cat.
Wasn't me.
Good job, everybody.
Was not.
Made it through. Patty, last night I want you to know I called the meeting at the Nolan Center and I was right on the money.
That was way
I guess I better take that phone with me.
Actually, me too.
I figured we were going to be there a while.
And when I saw it in any place where I've been talking, I thought that there was going to be some other stuff going on.
Yeah, what was going on? Yeah.
Julie's probably already in bed.
Oh, yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Julie.
Yeah.
No, we don't
have to. No.
They asked what those costs were.
I thought I was doing good and got everything.
And you pointed it out, Mike.
I'm going to say no right now.
Yeah.
You can tell we're all gone.